وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Inshallah, we will continue with our the second part of our lecture which we started last week, which is on who are the Ibad al-Rahman, who are the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called His personal servants, His special slaves, al-Ibad al-Rahman, the slave of al-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I recited for you ayat from Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the qualities of al-Ibad al-Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned nine kinds of qualities of al-Ibad al-Rahman. We covered three of them last week, and we will do the rest, inshallah, not the rest, but maybe three more this week, and then three more next week. Last week, what we covered was the first one, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the people who walk on earth in with humility and dignity, and when the foolish address them, they move away with dignity, they just say salam. So if they are criticized and abused and so forth, they do not reply in the same way. The second quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described of al-Ibad al-Rahman is the people who spend the night before their Rabb in sajda wal-qiyam. So people who have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best way to build that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through tahajjud and through the salah. And the third quality is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the people who say, our Rabb, avert from us the torment of Jahannam. Verily, its torment is an inseparable permanent punishment. And so these are the people who are aware of the torment of Jahannam, and they ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from Jahannam. Now we look at the ayat following these three ayat, inshaAllah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما ومن تاب وعمل صالحا فإنه يتوب إلى الله متابا والذين لا يشهدون الزور وإذا مروا باللغو مروا كراما والذين إذا ذكروا بآيات ربهم لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما أولئك يجزون الغرفة بما صبروا ويلقون فيها تحية وسلاما خالدين فيه حسنت مستقرا ومقاما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the other qualities, and the first of the ones that we will talk about today, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the people who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when they spend, whether it is for the purpose of deen or dunya, they are neither extravagant nor are they stingy, but they hold a medium way between these two extremes. Now the natural consequence of being focused on the akhirah is to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to do that in many places. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises great reward for those who spend in His paths and for His causes. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, the ayah with which we are all familiar, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the ayah before Ayat al-Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقُنَاكُمْ أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, spend of that with which we have provided you before a day comes when there will be no bargaining, no friendship, and no intercession. And it is the disbelievers who are the zalimun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He promised reward for even somebody who does the minutest amount of good, the smallest amount of good. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah said, the example of those who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like somebody who plants a single grain of corn. And it grows 7 years, and each year has 100 grains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives manifold increase to whom He pleases. So somebody plants one grain, he is getting 700 times that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then in addition to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase as He wishes. And this, as I always say, this is the style of the king. This is the style of Al-Malikul Haqq, who is the Rabbul Arshil Kareem. تعالى الله الملك الحق لا إله إلا هو رب العرش الكريم. This is the style of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The counting is for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't count. Allah gives without counting, بغير حساب. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He will increase that. 1:700 is guaranteed, and what is guaranteed is that He will increase and give you more than that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all sufficient for His creatures and needs, and He is the all knower. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us against extravagance and spending to show the world. This whole issue of israf, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our eyes to the evil of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ وَلَا تَبْسُطُهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْسُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and do not let your hand be tied like a miser to your neck, nor stretch it forth to its utmost reach like a spendthrift, like someone who is spending in the path of Allah to show the world, so that you become blameworthy and in severe poverty. You spend and spend and spend, and ultimately, because of your ostentation, because of your spending, you actually lose wealth and you become poor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't do that. Do not spend. Even if you are spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, do not give charity until it beggars you. So don't do that. At the same time, do not be like someone whose hand is tied to his neck. You know, money doesn't come out. There are people who have money in their hands, and there are people who have money in their hearts. The problem with people who have money in their hearts is the money doesn't come out. It's in the heart. Difficult to take it out of the heart, no? So money should be in your hand, so we can give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said about this whole business of being extravagant and of business of israf. Allah said, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَ حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and give to your relatives, give to people who are related to you, give to the kindred his due, and give to the miskeen. The miskeen is such a poor person who is poor but who doesn't ask. There are people like that in our families, in our community and so on. They are poor, we know they are poor, but they don't ask. They have self-respect and so they do not beg. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give to them. Go search them out, find them and give it to them. And then Allah said, and give it also to the wayfarer. Somebody who is a traveler, whatever it is, somebody is asking, give to them also. So give to both of these kinds of people. And then Allah said, but do not spend wastefully. In the manner of a spendthrift, in a manner of somebody who is doing israf. Innal mubazzirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. Allah says, verily, the people who do israf, the people who are spendthrifts, the people who are extravagant in their expenditure, they are the brothers of shaitan. Ikhwana shayateen. The brothers of shaitan. And the shaitan is ever ungrateful to his Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the people who do israf, the people who spend money to show the world, the people who spend money in extravagant ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them the brothers of shaitan. Now if even this will not convince us to make changes in our lifestyles, then Allah knows best what will convince us. The whole focus of Islam, my brothers and sisters, is to promote the good of society. And so any action that has the potential to cause corruption is banned. Extravagance has many evils that are associated with it, and so it is banned in the strongest possible terms. One of the clear results of extravagance that we see in the world is the people you spend because you have money, but there are other people who don't have money but they want to try to imitate you. So in your wedding, you spend a lot of money, the wedding of your son or your daughter and so on and so forth, you spend a lot of money on various decorations and so forth. Someone who doesn't have money now wants to imitate you, and they go and take a loan and they get into debt because they're trying to imitate you. Now, who's setting this example? And that's the reason. The issue is not whether you have the money or alhamdulillah, Allah has given you money from halal means. By all means, it is yours. By all means, use it, enjoy it, live a good life. Nobody says live like a beggar, no. But there is a difference between living a good life and setting a bad example for people in society. And Islam distinguishes very, very clearly between these two things. If you're living a good life and you're making shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're thanking Allah for the wealth He has given you, alhamdulillah, this is good for you. But if the result of the wealth is that you are spending it ostentatiously and you believe that somehow this makes you more honorable in society, that's very foolish. That is very, very foolish. And on top of that, this puts us into some serious problems with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next quality of Ali Badur Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are people who do not invoke, who do not ask and do not call any other ilah along with Allah, who do not commit shirk of any kind, and they do not also kill anyone that Allah has forbidden, which means they do not take a life without due cause, meaning that they don't commit murder. And remember, in Islam, murder of life and assassination of character are both equal. So you might say, well, I didn't kill anybody, but you're spending your time walking around talking bad talking people. That is equal to murder in Islam. So think about that. And then Allah said, and who do not commit illegal sexual intercourse, people who do not commit zina. There is a huge emphasis in Islam on action. Simply claiming to be Muslim is not enough. The actions are of two kinds. There are actions which are under the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we call huququllah, and there are actions which are under the rights of people, which we call huququl ibad. I've spoken about this in detail earlier, so I will not go into the details here. I'll be brief. The worst of transgressions against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to associate partners with Him or to deny Him. Shirk wal kufr. And the worst transgression against people is murder, taking of life, or character assassination of somebody. And that is the reason why here it is mentioned straight after shirk. Shirk is the worst transgression in huququllah, and murder is the worst transgression in huququl ibad. And then the third one, the worst of corruption, is promiscuity, it is immorality, it is all that goes with it and all that leads to it. You might say, I'm not committing zina, but if you are doing anything which leads to zina or which is related with zina in any way, for example, watching pornography or listening to songs which talk about zina, talk about promiscuity, and talk about what people they mix up. They mix up love with sex and lust, the three different words with complete different meanings. But if you're listening to those kinds of things, all of this is counted as zina. So you might say, well, I didn't actually do it. Well, you did it in different ways. So don't say you didn't do it because you did it. There are different ways of doing it. That's the only difference. They're all equal to zina. And that's the reason why it's mentioned in this way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in tajtanibu, see the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, in tajtanibu, kabaira ma tunhauna anhu nukaffir ankum sayyiatikum wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you avoid the major sins, the great sins, which you have been forbidden to do, we shall forgive your small sins and enter you into Jannah. See the beauty of this deen, and see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, keep away from the big ones, and Allah will forgive the small ones. Bonus. Now if somebody actually ends up entering the Jahannam on the day of judgment, may Allah protect us all from that. You can believe that that person really worked very hard. Because frankly speaking, it is, according to me, not possible to get to enter Jahannam. It's actually impossible to enter Jahannam. Anyone with a modicum of sense in their heads and with a grain of iman in his heart will not enter Jahannam, inshallah. Because the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive everything. So you have to actually work very hard to enter Jahannam. But there are people who dedicate their entire lives to doing everything possible to ensure that they end up in the hellfire. Now what do you do with them? You know, strange. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us against committing all forms of disobedience and sins. Now one must not consider sins as being small and major. Now this is one of the many, many fallacies that we labor under. People say, you know, this is a small sin and that is a major sin. Please understand that the classification of sins is done purely for one reason. And that reason is for the prescription of punishments. Obviously you cannot chop off somebody's head for everything. You know, one standard punishment. Anyone does anything, chop his head off. Not a good idea. So therefore in Islam, that is not the prescribed punishment for everything. And that's the reason why some sins are considered to be less severe than others. The key thing to understand is that if we as individuals, if we as ibadullah, if we as the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we develop this attitude where we say this is a small thing, it's not about the thing being small or large in itself. It is about the attitude whereby we consider the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be a small thing. The disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a small thing. This is the very important point to understand. The disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a small thing. The fiqhi position of that disobedience may be small or serious depending on whatever that sin is. Don't worry about that. We are now talking about the attitude of a slave towards his creator and his master. What should that attitude be? That attitude should be an attitude of complete submission. The question is not whether the sin is small or large. The question is whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your opinion, is small or big. That is the issue. That is the issue. Because if you stand here on this musalla and you say Allahu Akbar, and if you believe that Allahu Akbar, then how can the disobedience of that Allah be anything except Akbar? Just as the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best of rewards for the smallest of our actions. Yes or no? Do you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also to grade our actions and say, well, this is a big one and I will give a big reward, and this is a small one, I'll give a small reward. Do we want this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. We want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the biggest possible reward for anything we do. Yes? Then how do we stay and live with an attitude where we consider the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be something which is small and of no consequence? We need to examine our own attitudes, because that is what we will get caught on. It's not a question of saying this sin, was it small, was it big? The issue is, what was your attitude with respect to that sin? Now out of all the sins, as we know and as we have mentioned many, many times before, shirk is the worst. And that's the reason why every year when we start our classes, we start with the classes of Aqeedah. And inshallah tomorrow the classes of Aqeedah start. All of you most welcome, please come. The class on Saturday is from 5 to 8 p.m. And the class on Sunday is from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. So that's Saturday and Sunday. Two different classes, there's no repetition. So you have to attend all the classes. And those classes are on Aqeedah. And inshallah, most probably will take about 4 weeks to complete all the different points of Aqeedah. It's very, very, very important to be clear in our minds of what is our belief. Really, we have to ask ourselves, oh, how can you live in the world without, you don't even know what you believe? I mean, what kind of thing is that? Makes no sense whatsoever, right? So we have to know and learn what is the Islamic belief. What is the correct Islamic belief? For the major reason, which is that if we know what is the correct Islamic belief, then this is the biggest protection that we have against false beliefs. Why is it important to know what is the correct belief? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only reward us for actions which are done with that belief in place. This morning I was in Chiran Palace. We go for a walk in the morning and then I was in the masjid. And a man came, a Hindu gentleman came. And he walked straight into the masjid. And he touched the steps of the masjid. And he made obeisance there. And he stood there in silence for a while. So when he finished, I asked him, I said, you know, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't worship this building. I said, Alhamdulillah, we definitely value your feelings, but we don't worship the building, we worship Allah. He said, yes, I do the same thing. He said, Shiva and Vishnu and Jesus and this one and this one and this one, they're all the same. So I worship all of them. I go to the temples, I also go to the church. He's covering all bases, you know. This is not Islam. This is not Islam. Shiva, Vishnu and so on are mythology. Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. There's no partners whatsoever. And it's very important for us to understand what is the aqidah. So do come, do bring all your friends. We have enough place, alhamdulillah. There's arrangements for ladies as well. Bring them and listen and understand and go. We don't ask anything more from you. That's it. Please come and listen, understand. And of course we'll give you notes and so on and so forth. I don't generally pass out the notes without the explanation because you won't understand the notes. So it's important for you to come to the class and understand what is being said, ask questions, clarify your doubts and so on and so forth. And then of course we'll give you a set of notes as well so that you have everything, a record of all that was said and all that you need to learn. So do come. Now out of all the sins, the worst is shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Luqman, the ayah with which you are all familiar, Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Allah said the worst of sins is shirk. The biggest of sins is shirk. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa and other places, Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha wa man yushrik billahi faqad dalla dalalan ba'ida. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah does not forgive the sin of setting up partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But He forgives whatever else He pleases of other sins. And whoever sets up partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed strayed far away. Now this does not mean that it's okay to commit other sins. Obviously, it is not the position of a Muslim to commit any sin. We're talking here about sins that happen despite your good intentions, the sins that happen out of forgetfulness or something like this. So inshallah, we will not commit any sin knowingly and deliberately. Inshallah, we will not do that. But because things happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to forgive all of those sins. But the one that He has promised not to forgive is which one? Shirk. Joining partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in the Aqidah class, we will do all of this in detail. But here I want to just put some markers. Three ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one, we call shirk fi ibadah or shirk fi uluhiyah. This is the shirk of joining anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making sajda to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Joining partners with anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing any act of worship for anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Asking dua from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Asking for favors from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these are shirk fi uluhiyah. It comes under the category of major shirk. And a person who is doing that knowingly is exit from Islam. He's not a Muslim anymore. If a person does this unknowingly, obviously he is doing wrong and he should be corrected and he should be brought back and he should understand. But after correction, after advice, if a person doesn't listen to that and he continues on that path, then that person has left Islam. If a person dies on that aqeedah, that anyone other than Allah can help him, that anyone other than Allah is worthy of worship, that person has died on an aqeedah of shirk, and we know where that will end. The second shirk, and this is a big one because this is the one which is most commonly committed, and that is shirk fi rububiyah, shirk in the quality and the sifat of Allah as Rabbul Alameen. Shirk fi rububiyah. Now this is to join anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to think of anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe that anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give or take away anything. That to believe that anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you good fortune or ill fortune, good luck or bad luck. That someone can give you health or illness. That someone can give you wealth or poverty. That someone can cause you benefit or harm of any kind. This is shirk fi rububiyat. If you have that belief, then you have exited Islam. Please understand, these are major shirk. Major shirk. Anyone who believes that someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause benefit or harm is committing shirk. That person is no longer a Muslim if he has that belief in his heart. And if you have that belief, what must you do? Tawbah. Tawbah. Very simple. You make tawbah, khalas. It's all over. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives everything. But tawbah is necessary. So do understand that. Now, therefore, just to give you some pointers on this one, what are the common beliefs that people have? And may Allah protect us, even Muslims have these beliefs. What are the common beliefs that people have with regard to committing shirk fi rububiyah, where they believe that other than Allah can help them? Shirk fi rububiyah is to ask the help of so-called dead people for favors. The so-called saints and awliya Allah. To ask them for favors. To ask even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for favors. To go and stand there on the qabr and say, please make dua for me, is shirk. To ask them directly, I don't have this and I don't have that, help me, is shirk. Major shirk which exits you from Islam. Please understand very clearly. To believe that a theory or ritual or system like Vastu or Feng Shui or Ganapati Homam or whichever can cause harm or benefit is major shirk. Exit from Islam. To wear talismans, to wear taweez of this kind and that kind, to wear various kinds of stones, to tie threads round your ankles and round your wrists or round your waist or round your neck, or I don't know where they tie these threads. To tie all of those threads because you believe that they will save you from accidents is major shirk. That thread round your neck will drag you all the way into the pit of Jahannam, believe me. If you are wearing, any of you is wearing those threads now, very quietly, everyone else, shut your eyes, break the thread now. Don't even let 1 second pass with that thread on your wrist. Because if you have that belief and you have the thread on your wrist, your salah is not accepted. Please understand this very clearly. A man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, I have come to accept Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what do you have around your neck? I refuse to accept you. The man said, Ya Rasulullah, I came to accept Islam. You are not accepting me. He said, what do you have around your neck? He said, this is the thread for good luck. He said, break it and throw it. He broke it and threw it. Then Rasulullah ﷺ accepted his Islam. What does it tell you? It means that if you have something around you, whichever, on your body, which you believe is going to cause you benefit or harm, then you have exited Islam. I'm sorry, I'm the only giver of bad news in this whole city. You know, everyone else, you'll never hear this anywhere else in any masjid. Do a survey. I'm the only giver of bad news in this whole city. I can't help it. If I am standing here, I have to do it. And it's not my, I don't make the rules. Please. Good omens, bad omens. Kali murgi, kala kabutar, kala bakra, kala anda. Ande ke upar lagana, bhilama. Nazara utarna, pani mein bhilama dalke, do bar chiller dalke, aisa utare to kata nazar nikal. Dulhan ke upar se kale bakre ko vaarte kata. Vaarte vaarte upar dal diya to musibat. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Please. Shirk. Rahu kalam, ketu kalam. You know which is a good time, bad time? Shirk. Good days, bad days.
गुड मंथ्स ब्लैक बैड मंथ्स घर के ऊपर झंडे लगाना ऑल दीज फ्लैग्स ऑन टॉप ऑफ योर हाउस टेयर देम डाउन नाउ नाउ शिर्क इनका झंडा उनका झंडा जिसके नाम में झंडे लगा रहे दोज पीपल वर अलाइव हियर दे वुड हैव सेपरेटेड योर हेड फ्रॉम योर बॉडीज यू पुट द फ्लैग ऑन द टॉप ऑफ योर हाउस द वेरी फैक्ट दैट यू आर स्टिल अलाइव एंड नथिंग हैपन टू यू शोज दैट दोज पीपल हु यू आर वर्शिपिंग कैन नॉट डू एनीथिंग फॉर यू लकी कलर्स लकी स्टोन लकी रिंग्स लकी बैंडल्स लकी आई हैव रिटन अ लॉन्ग लिस्ट ऑफ दिस थिंग हियर सुभानअल्लाह अजीब Third form, all of this stuff is shirk. Please, people, please understand this. All of this is major shirk. Do not do it. Custom and practice, maybe your grandfathers did it, maybe our grandfathers did it, may Allah help them and may Allah forgive their sins. Please, don't perpetuate evil. Ye baap dada ka deen ka argument was the argument that the mushrikeen of Makkah gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not something that we have to talk about. If somebody else did something wrong, they did wrong. That doesn't make it right because my grandfather did it or your grandfather did it. The action is wrong in itself. If they did it, may Allah forgive them. Make dua for them, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. But you don't perpetuate that. Why do you want to do something knowing it is wrong? The third form of shirk is what is called shirk fi asma wa sifat illahi ta'ala is to join or ascribe the qualities and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to anyone else. To believe that humans have supernatural powers, to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah, is like a human being in any way, because he said, laitha kamithlihi shayun wa huwa samiul basir. All of this is shirk fi asma wa sifati illahi ta'ala. There are certain names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also which are haram to use without the prefix of abd. One is Allah, one is ar-Rahman, and the third one is al-Ahad. So if your name, if you have somebody who's there, nobody has a name, you always use Abdullah. Nobody says, uses Allah. But Rahman is used very commonly here. Rahman and Sons, tailors. Inna lillahi wa inna, what kind of a name is that? Rahman and Sons. The name of a shop of a Muslim man. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Go tell the guy. Change the name. It's shirk. You have to say Abdul Rahman. Rahman bhai is shirk. Kalimatu shirk. Do not say this. Abdul Rahman, Abdullah, Abdul Ahad. I'm always amazed with many of my Hindu friends, and then of course we have our Muslim friends also who share these beliefs. I'm always amazed that these people who are rocket scientists and they are physicists and they are doctors and they have all these high class education, but they can simultaneously believe some complete nonsense. Like tying a thread around the wrist will save me from an accident. I mean, what kind of thing is this? What happened to all your education? What happened to your intelligence? Where did it all evaporate? Where did it go? All this education and intelligence is supposed to make you think, right? What happened to all that? So please understand this. Using intelligence, we need to use our intelligence to save ourselves from the hellfire. Not to find ways to go into the hellfire. So get rid of all of these things. Tear down the flags from your roofs. Burn your vastu books. Break all those threads. I hope you have done that already because I told you to do it now. Don't wait. Because we do not know in what state Allah will take us. Do not wait. Take it off. Because a day will come when we will meet Malakul Maut. And on that day, you don't want to meet Malakul Maut with a thread around your waist. Or a thread around your ankle, or something around your neck, and with a flag on your roof, and you know, reading a book of Vastu or Feng Shui, or God knows what new system will get invented. If somebody tells you that if you put your bathroom where your kitchen was, you will get good luck. SubhanAllah, very nice. Fantastic. How do you even believe this nonsense? I mean, absolute, complete, total nonsense. We believe it. Point number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of Ibadur Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, is those who repent and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam and do righteous deeds. See the beauty of the bayan of the Quran, how this sequence is maintained of things. After the mention of shirk, What is the other mention? Of repentance. So beautiful. I mean, we just think about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, sent this beautiful kalam of His for us. Totally logical, totally sensible, you, understands you, touches your heart, enters your heart. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who repent and believe. وَمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا and who do righteous good deeds. My brothers and sisters, we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who opened for us the door of tawbah. What would we do if there was no way to seek the forgiveness of Allah? Think about that. What would we do? If Allah had not shown us the door of tawbah, what would we do? Subhanallah. And how easy to make tawbah. Supposing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that for every day that you believed in a false thing, you have to pay so much money in order to be forgiven. What would we do? Nothing. Nothing, nothing. No money, no nothing. Just change your belief. Just make tawbah and say, Ya Rab, I'm sorry, I believed this rubbish. I now no longer will believe it. I will not do those things anymore. Please forgive me. Khalas. Gone. Everything is wiped clean. Subhanallah. Ajeeb. Kya Allah ki rahmat. Think about that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you know, think about this. This world is a world of cause and effect. Yes? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَن كَثِيرٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whatever misfortune, whatever bad thing, calamity falls on you, it is because of what your hands have earned. Please understand, people, that amal have tasir, that amal actions have the capacity to attract the positive and the negative, to attract the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to attract His wrath and His anger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whatever calamity befalls you is because of what you have done. And that is why Nuh alayhi salam said to his people, what did Nuh alayhi salam say to his people when they had difficulties and they came to him, what did he tell them? فَقُلْتُسْ تَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا He said, go make tawbah. Go make tawbah. Go make istighfar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. What is the way out for calamities and difficulties? Make tawbah wal istighfar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, زَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ Why? لِيُزِقَهُ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that corruption and evil has spread on the sea and on the land because of the actions of people. Because of what their hands have earned. And he says, this evil, this punishment is from us to give them a taste of the real punishment so that they will turn back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The calamity comes to wake us up. The difficulty comes to wake us up. The illness comes to wake us up. The accident happens to wake us up. The loss in business happens to wake us up so that we can wake up and we can make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See the beauty of this Rabb of ours, my brothers and sisters. He creates a world of cause and effect. But for the sake of forgiving us, He delays the cause and effect principle. He delays the effect for sins. He's created a world of cause and effect. But for the purpose of sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delays the effect. It doesn't happen immediately. What will happen if you grab a 64,000 volt electric cable? You'll fry, yes? Now how about the moment you made one kalima of shirk? How about the moment you said, Ya Ali Madad or Ya Ghaus Madad if you fried? Allah can do it, no? Allah can do it? How about the moment you looked at something haram which Allah has prohibited you, you went blind? The moment you looked at it, gone, finished. How about the minute you listened to anything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, you went deaf? How about the minute you lifted your hand to do something which Allah has prohibited, you get a paralytic stroke and your hand is gone? How about the minute you get up and start to walk towards something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited from, you get a paralytic stroke or you break a leg or something and it's gone? The moment you get in your car and you want to drive towards a place which I will not name, your car crashes. People think I love the place very much because every khutbah I mention it. World of cause and effect. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He delays the effect. He delays the effect. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person makes the niyyah, see the rahmah of this Rabb of ours. When a person makes the niyyah to do something good, for example, if you say, I am going to give $10 or 10 rupees in sadaqah when I go out of the masjid. You have not given it yet, you just made this niyyah, I am going to give this in charity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the kiram and kathibin, he orders the angels who are writing the good deeds to write one hasana, one good deed in your book. You have not done anything yet. Allah says, write one good deed. When you actually go and do that good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, write 10 more. Yes? When you think of a bad deed, the angel says, what shall I do? Allah says, nothing. You're just thinking, maybe I want to do this. Nothing. Then may Allah forgive us, we actually go and commit that bad deed. We actually go and commit that sin. The angel is about to write, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, wait. Don't write. Says, Ya Rab, he did it. He says, yeah, he did it. I know this boy better than you. But wait. Maybe he will make tawbah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Allah makes the angel wait till the end of the day. And then Allah says, okay, now write. Now, how much does he write? How much did you get when you did a good deed? 1:10 minimum. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ أَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. The one who comes with one good deed, Allah says, I will give him 10 likewise. But now when the angel is writing the sin, how many is he writing? One. Only one. مِثْلَهَا. Only one. Then, sin is written. You are still alive, alhamdulillah. And you commit some more, and you commit some more, and you commit some more. And end of the day, no tawbah, it gets written and written and written. Now you've got a big fat book of evil. And then alhamdulillah, may Allah give it to all of us. You get the tawfiq to make tawbah. You realize, no, I have lived a life which is ridiculous. I have to change my way and I am making tawbah. You make tawbah. Now what happens? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, not only will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipe out the sins, but he will even make the malaika forget. There will be no record of the sins whatsoever. And then, and we'll come to that in next Jummah inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same surah, in the same ayah which comes after this, see the beauty of this Rabb, see the rahmah of this Rabb. Not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipe out all those sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the angels to convert them into good deeds and fill your book with good deeds. Ajeeb. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. When this ayah of Surah al-Furqan was revealed, he went to the Sahaba and he said, I am the best of you. He said, I am the best of you. They said to him, they said, how can you make this claim? We are all trying to be the best we can be and you know, you are making this claim. He said, didn't you see what Allah said? He said, what did Allah say? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will change the evil deeds for good deeds. He said, I was the worst of you. He said, none of you did as much evil as I did. So he says, now, biznillahi ta'ala, I have the maximum amount of good deeds in my book. Subhanallah. So why do we insist on not making tawbah? Why do we insist on delaying tawbah? Because we have no iman and yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have no iman and yaqeen on the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What other reason? You give me a reason otherwise. Because if you really believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives, then why don't you ask for forgiveness? If you still don't ask for forgiveness, then you tell me why, what is the problem with the iman? My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you to make tawbah immediately, to stop doing shirk immediately, to stop committing sins immediately, and to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to ask for his maghfirah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you and me for all that we have done and to change our evil deeds into good deeds, inshallah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us all under the shade of His arsh, like He gathers us every Jummah in this masjid. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His knowledge about Him and about His deen, and to make it easy for us to understand and to believe and to act on that knowledge. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to correct our aqaid and to correct our amal in such a way that when we die, these will be a source of great blessing and rahmah for us and not a source of problems for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.